This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Brandon, I wanted to look at your mindset with regard to this phenomenon. Okay, you're suggesting it's not quite physical or can become physical. What evidence would indicate that, number one, there are dimensional portals, number two, that these creatures come from them?
So evidence would just be eyewitness reports. What people have stated the phenomena to be, this occurs a lot with folks walking in the woods. If they see a Bigfoot very clearly, they'll turn a corner. After it turns a corner, completely vanish off the trail without a trace. So one could say that they either become completely optically inaccessible to us, which, I mean, we know the UFO phenomena can do that anyway. It could just, you know, do the screen memory in you. Perhaps it possesses the same ability and is connected to the phenomena in that way, that it can project a screen memory into you, that it's just a tree standing in front of you or a fern now, or that you never saw anything to begin with. And then maybe after it's at a certain proximity away from you, perhaps it's a proximal thing, then maybe its effect wears off, and then you go back to remembering that you saw a Bigfoot and you look around. A lot of people also with Bigfoot encounters report missing time. There are some really interesting, you know, phenomena that occur alongside Bigfoot that one would say, minus the Bigfoot, they had a UFO encounter, contact experience. I would say that it's entirely possible that it's either manipulating something or that something exists to where it can become invisible. I play around with and love the idea that it can manipulate a portal and just go into it like nothing, like freezing in motion. It just creates a portal and goes in it. You know, maybe a scared mechanism for it sucks it into another dimension. If you've ever seen the movie, the new Doctor Strange, I don't know the subname of it, but it's the one with the girl in it that can create portals. And the whole time, the only reason she can do it or the way that it operates is that she gets scared, right? It's an emotional response that signifies that this phenomena occurs. I'm just now thinking of this as we're talking about it. And if you connect it to this, that would be pretty cool. If you think about it too, there's emotional responses with things like monatomic goats where they just freeze up. And a lot of people think playing possum is playing possum. They don't. Blood rushes to their head and they pass out. So it's a response. It elicits a physiological difference, right, in reality. And so maybe Bigfoot, when he gets scared or knows it's seen, gets this scared response and just sucks into another dimension, maybe. Maybe it's involuntary. You know, it might be a mechanism of the reality. Maybe it's something to where, they saw something they shouldn't have. It wandered out of bounds. Let's get it out of there. And it's a default setting. You know, assuming that portals or something like this couldn't be plausible is a hard assumption that our reality is very fixed and that we know exactly what's going on here. And I just find it very pliable, like very, very pliable.
You know, when you talk about pliable realities, the examples I have are people remembering totally different events, differently.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with a woman named Geneva, my first wife, and we remained friends after we split up, recalling things that happened during our marriage. And it was like, we're talking about specific facts that were specifically totally different. And she's a very bright woman. I don't think I've lost my marbles yet, maybe next year. But when you add these two factors, it makes little sense to me that we could be so different in our memories. I don't mean minor differences of what we might have said, but really major significant differences. And, of course, then we have the Mandela effect where people remember something very distinctly, but the reality is that Jaws' girlfriend in the James Bond movies did not have his teeth.
Yeah, the Monopoly Man never had a monocle at all. Even though it's parodied in tons of things, don't get me going on the Mandela effect, brother. I will just take this over. And now what you're talking about here is consensus reality and something very interesting at a level, man. I could break everybody's mind right here and just tell you that you're on your own and there's no one else here. And that reality is you think it exists, does not, or perhaps is possibly not. And that it's just you. You can watch a great 7-minute video on this called The Egg on YouTube. Very quick 7-minute watch. It's amazing. It will blow your mind. But to what you said about your interpretation of an event, even with your ex-spouse, which I adore the fact that you guys were able to remain amicable, very mature, So the eyewitness testimony is the least considered in court cases because it's so floppy. Your interpretation of reality is what we're talking about here. There is a piece of your mind called the reticular activating system, and what its job is to show you physically, to highlight in your reality what you believe to be true. Now, that fact alone should give everyone pause to grab their inventory of what they've been believing and what their paradigm is and reassess. Because what you're doing there is a great example. You're thinking of someone and then they call you, right? This is this connection. This is this idea. But in your physical reality, if you are, let's say, in the market for a blue Tesla, you've never had one before. You've rarely seen them. You think they're really cool. All you are going to see is blue Teslas around you all the time. And you're going to notice them constantly. Now, the question becomes, are there really that many blue Teslas on the road and you just never saw them before because you weren't paying attention? Or did you create those in your reality because you gave them attention and chose to have that experience? And then it was manifest in front of you because that's what your attention was focused on. And that's what your energy brings forth. The same occurs with the UFO phenomena. One person standing there will see a UFO 5 feet in front of their face. It's hovering almost right there. The person standing directly to their right does not. There seems to also be, from my perspective and observation, an energetic component to this place where there's complementary energies that are attracted to one another. And in this way, you can then put together the reticular activating system. You can look for a second at the placebo effect and how you can just have things affect you or not. Then the double slit experiment, and you can really cook your noodle on the fact that you're probably not in a reality with everyone and that you're creating everything you see in front of you vibrationally, depending on what your paradigm is, which you can change at any time.
I always like the idea, and I think I first heard it suggested here on the Paracast a couple of years ago, is that however the internal structure of the universe and how it was created, it's probably very similar to what we would call coding in computer. With computers, and that like any kind of program, there's going to be bugs, and that our reality has bugs in it, and that a lot of these what we would call paranormal events, cryptid sightings, things that appear and disappear, is just bugs in the system.
It's one possible explanation, and I'd never rule anything out, but what I would say to that would be that it's a pretty sophisticated system, and I do see glitches occurring. One thing that I've been questioning that will kind of point what I'm saying here would be that I've been looking at the missing time phenomena a little bit differently. I don't necessarily, yes, perhaps something occurred during that missing time. But what I did was step back and say, why is there missing time? If these entities can do anything they want, they can manipulate time space. They obviously have the ability to overtake your consciousness and either make you remember or not, make you see them as something they're not or not. You know, at a level, this could all be gin, and that's a whole different conversation. But then the way that they can apprehend all that, now, at a level, then that's a big deal. That's a massive apprehension of your consciousness. And for something to be able to do that is a very sophisticated machine. Now, if it's a machine, and this is just sort of like a simulation, let's say, then this is an option here. It's like a, if it is a simulation and you do perhaps have a choice about the goings on the other side at perhaps a detached level from your current understanding, then maybe it's all chosen, right? And this, you know, marries beautifully with the spirituality concept of unity consciousness and we're all one and all of that. It is the simulation argument and that marry beautifully. One's just more of a technocratic or sort of a technological way of phrasing it, but at their core, those two understandings of science and spirituality finally merging on a common conversation like that is what I'm super excited about, because now this is where we're starting to discover, especially with quantum physics being brought into the conversation, that perhaps all technology, no matter what it looks like at a level, is consciousness. And really, when you look at it like that, and that, you know, these glitches occur, such as, again, missing time, maybe, again, it's a deeper thing. Maybe we look like, maybe perhaps a short-sighted way of looking at it, an antiquated way of looking at it, rather, that they bungled it or that it's a byproduct and it's simply that. I perhaps think that missing time itself is the fact that you have it is a step into the paranormal.
Let's do this paranormal thing you hear with Brandon, Darcy, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, when it comes to missing time, the usual scenario is that someone or something abducts you, takes you away to do what they're going to do. You have no memory of it. You have memory of the beginning of the event. But what they did, everything you went through, is stricken from your memory, although it may be recovered later, or you might remember it later. And then when you remember again, you're off on the road somewhere 20 miles away, it's 2 hours later. That's the general concept of missing time.
Yes, absolutely. But it also occurs in other phenomena. Psychedelics. You can drink too much and have missing time, right? That's a joking through a physical way of talking about it, but that occurs. Also, Bigfoot, again, phenomena. People have reported seeing a Bigfoot and then missing 2 hours and being back to their tents way after dark, way longer than they should have. Well, why was missing time associated with a Bigfoot experience? No UFO reported. People were totally into UFOs, said, nope, no UFOs, Bigfoot. And as several accounts of this. So if that's occurring, also, there are so many ways that your consciousness can be apprehended here. This is one of the indicators to me, in my mind, that all of it's connected in some way. But it has some calling cards, even down to the near-death phenomenon, the out-of-body experience and astral travel. They've got some elements that something bigger is going on, that there are questions to be asked. And I believe that perhaps is enough. You know what I mean? That's enough for you to push your consciousness towards this elevated state of simply not taking for granted what you're being told as the reality around you, and perhaps asking for yourself via this extra extraordinary experience that you had that can't be explained by modern science. And actually, they gaslight you and won't even look at the Bigfoot footage, right? And so there's sort of this gaslighting element that goes into it, even though perhaps they know exactly what's going on. But again, it's an indicator that there's some amazing things here, and perhaps that's motivation enough.
Darcy, after this discussion, does it make you want to get out there and maybe do another documentary about Bigfoot Sasquatch along these lines?
I've had my thoughts to do a third doc, but yeah, I would be more focusing around the people that are investigating the elusive creatures, and one of which is a friend of mine, Thomas Steenberg, who lives in just outside of Mission, British Columbia. He's been investigating since he lived in Alberta, you know, in his 20s, and he's now in his 50s, and he investigated Alberta, Canada, and then he was one of the guys I initially met in Harrison Hot Springs, and he moved out to British Columbia to be closer to the phenomenon, the sightings, and the creature known as Sasquatch. So I think I will eventually do that story, but I'm just focusing right now on continuing to unveil the anomalies of space and UFOs in, the NASA space program and the secret history of all that.
Well, that's a good segue. Let's talk about your most recent film. What's the title of it again?
Secret Space UFOs, NASA's First Missions.
What originally led you to take this project on?
Well, you know, I have always been interested in space, outer space, and the idea that one day we'll be a spacefaring nation that will conquer other planets. And I've always been interested in UFOs, and when I saw that there was many different anomalies that were recorded throughout history of our early space travel, both to do with UFOs, you know, vehicles that were not flown by a man, witnessed by our early astronauts, and structures that were found on the moon that look like they're not natural. They look like they're man-made or from another civilization. I figured I should document this and put it together in, you know, the most sane but wild experience possible.
This film, which I enjoyed very much, by the way, divided up into the various different early space programs, and starting with the X-15. And I think that probably most people anymore have no idea what the X-15 program is. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that segment?
Yeah, so the X-15 was a rocket-powered jet that connected to the side of a modified B-2 bomber. This mission really started being underway in the late 50s, around 1959, and NASA started as an organization. It was actually originally called NACA, and that started in 1958. In 1961, they first started flying the X-15, you know, flying as high as they could in the B-2 bomber in the atmosphere, and then launching this rocket off of a wing that was it was connected to. And then that would propel the very first designation of an astronaut pilot into low Earth orbit. And while they were out there, Joe White and Robert Walker, two of the, you know, early test flight astronauts, both witnessed UFOs. And this was reported in Life magazine at first, and later on was further confirmed by Major Walker. He actually snuck some still images out of the Hasselblad photos that he had taken. And he was speaking at a conference and actually acknowledged to the public at that time that it was one of NASA's tasks for the pilots to take as many photos of UFOs if they were witnessed on each mission. So, you know, fast forward to today, all of a sudden you have major news that NASA is putting together a UFO research panel, a group of different research backgrounds, scientists that are going to investigate the different UFO anomalies in history and try and finally give the public an answer on whether this is real or not. Well, I find it funny because, you know, if you look at the X-15 mission, which was the very first NASA designation of an astronaut, and you look at these missions where they're going into a world that's not hospitable to man, and they made observations, took DAC motion picture footage and still images with a Hasselblad camera. And that carried on throughout. All astronauts did the same thing. They recorded evidence of things outside of our planet in space throughout the space programs of Mercury and all the Gemini missions after the X-15.
Let's break it here. We've got more to talk about. A secret space program. What is it? You like the way I whisper, folks? Brandon, Darcy, and Jean, and Tim, you're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News.
Raphael Warnock, the Democratic incumbent for Georgia's U.S. Senate seat, is making the case on why he should be given a full six-year term. His Republican challenger, Herschel Walker, is making the case on why he should be chosen over Warnock. Both men have days left to make those arguments ahead of Tuesday's runoff election. Another judge in the Hoosier state has blocked Indiana's abortion ban ahead of that state's Supreme Court hearing oral arguments on an injunction that was implemented a week after the ban went into effect back in September. South Carolina will be first in the nation on the Democrats' presidential nominating calendar. Some party leaders have pushed to replace Iowa in the number one spot to reflect the party's diversity overall, but specifically giving a nod to black voters, the party's loyal base. The U.S. men's soccer team heading home from Qatar after losing to the Netherlands in the World Cup. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fan, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Darcy, please continue what we were going into in our previous segment.
Yeah, so I was just saying that UFOs were witnessed on pretty much every major space mission in early space history, space research history. NASA has denied that UFOs were ever a thing. In fact, they didn't want us to look into this. There's evidence that they didn't want the public taking this seriously quite early on in space history. But all of a sudden, they're starting up this research panel. And so part of my goal in making these documentaries is to make sure people understand that NASA might not be the authority that they say they are, because they've been lying to us about this phenomenon, and they've known about it since the beginning.
The skeptics, especially with the X-15 sightings, skeptics always tried to dismiss what the pilots were seeing as, you know, parts coming off of the X-15, but and a lot closer rather than further away. But, I mean, there were actually films, interviews with these pilots not too long after their flights where they told these stories and pretty much dismissed what the skeptics were saying. You weren't there. This is what we saw.
Yeah, that's right. That's a common theme. And, I mean, even when we talk about pilots that are chasing the Tic Tac UFO or the Nimitz Go Fast footage that came out since 2017, you have the skeptics attacking the pilots' credibility. Oh, they don't know what they're looking at. They're not trained observers, but they are. They're supposed to know if an enemy craft is in their airspace. They're supposed to understand the craft that they're flying and that, you know, what they're looking at is not something coming off of it. I'm sure all of their indicators in the craft would tell them if their craft was falling apart like that. Yeah. So I think the skeptics tell you don't trust a trusted source. Don't trust anything. And that's the job of a skeptic, to cast shadow and doubt on truth.
It also seemed like that these early pilots and even some of the earlier astronauts were a lot more open about discussing with the media their encounters, and that seemed to change after a certain point. Any speculation? I mean, do you think that NASA, you know, finally came to him and said, "Nah, don't talk about this kind of stuff"?
Yeah, I think after Project Mercury, pretty much was the major. You had Scott Carpenter getting fired because he got distracted, a lot like other Project Mercury astronauts were distracted by lights when they were floating around in their Redstone capsule orbiting Earth. And Scott Carpenter made a safe landing in the ocean on Earth afterwards, but he missed his reentry point because he was so distracted by something he couldn't explain. NASA, I think, did a very important PR exercise to tell the public he just saw something that was water molecules, ice, space ice. That's what Jim Oberg and all of these other skeptics will constantly say. It's just misidentified space ice, which it all can't be. But sometimes it might be. But in this case, they fired Scott Carpenter as a NASA pilot. And I think they made an example of him. And you really see in every mission after that, astronauts always debunked, never talked about their UFO experiences to the public. You know, even if we have transcript data that shows that they saw things and they were commenting on things when they were out there observing something outside of the capsule, they would be called up on those comments they made that came up in transcript conversations between them and Capcom by press agents, and the press would be shut down immediately. So I think the astronauts were essentially told, shut up about that, and threatened.
Brandon, you were going to say something.
I was going to answer your question of, perhaps in just a different perspective on why the astronauts weren't talking anymore. You know, I mean, with two words, Gus Grissom, the no presidents after Kennedy has questioned abolishing the Federal Reserve and telling all the people about the UFOs. So I think things like that, as unfortunate as we probably would like that they don't exist, they send a pretty clear message. And we have two examples of those, what we're talking about, relevant, that, kind of maybe prove the point that they're not to be messed with. You know, I mean, people have families and there's a family environment here, and there's a very real possibility that could be an issue. And I think that is entirely plausible. We hear this with secret agencies all over the world that have this built into the narrative. You know, they know your family. They know everything about it. So there's not a lot of incentive for people to come forward and to explain what they can't explain just simply by saying that they saw something. And, you know, maybe that there is something going on, and maybe they are privy to information, and it may be the same scenario. They're not allowed to talk about it at a level of severe threat as actual impact to their reality.
The early Mercury orbits, the astronauts all talked and were really flummoxed by what they called the fireflies. And there was, and you referred to Scott Carpenter, who was really amazed by what he was seeing, and even went as far as, I guess, to knock on the side of the spaceship to see if these things were actually ice particles.
Emanating.
That were coming from the side of the ship.
Yeah, so there was evidence that, you know, NH1, not NH2O, because that would denote that there was oxygen in space if it had O, but NH1 frozen is just nitrous that was coming off of a tank. And that did form outside of the capsule. That explains the very first sort of firefly experience that was witnessed by the very first Mercury astronaut, Shepard. But I think Scott Carpenter's experience was explained away as the very same thing. I don't think he actually did see that. Because if you listen to the recording from his mission, what he was saying when he saw it, he was saying something like, there's something strange out here. Weird. I don't know what it is. And he would have heard all of the exact same descriptions that Shepard had made on the very first Mercury mission. So it's my opinion that once he got back to Earth and, you know, NASA was going through their PR exercise to cover this up and make sure the public didn't think anything of it. Because remember, this was also, a lot of this stuff was being radio broadcast. It was kind of like a War of the Worlds Orson Welles scenario when they would hear the astronauts confused and scared about something they're seeing. So the press NASA had to deal with and say, oh, it was just space ice. It was just particles that had frozen and were revolving around the capsule, which we do know is the case for Shepard's mission. But I think NASA said that because they just wanted to continue on with that explanation. And I think Scott Carpenter knew he was going to be fired, but he didn't want to be also disgracing NASA by saying, no, it wasn't space ice. So he just went with that story.
Darcy Ware and Brandon Thomas talking now about the secret space program and other astronaut phenomena. With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Indeed, astronaut phenomena. Astronauts reporting things. We've heard that through the UFO field for lo these many years. But that itself indicates that perhaps the descriptions of seeing something unusual or being withheld, it doesn't imply a secret space program, however.
Yeah, it does. It implies that there are secrets about our history, flying into space, researching deep space, and the public is not privy to the real truth about what's going on and what has been tested out there, what has been seen out there by our astronauts. And that's what we're trying to unpack in this series of documentaries. And Brandon was so kind to be featured in this documentary. He talked a bit about the X-15. He talked a bit about the astronauts' experiences on the different missions and possibly what NASA's role was in all of this.
Yeah, 100%. And just a fun fact about the X-15, if you guys want it here. The X-15's highest speed was 4,520 miles an hour. Okay, now that was achieved October 3rd, 1967 by William J. Knight, who flew it at Mach 6.7 at 102,100 feet, which is like 19 miles, guys, by the way. And this set the official world record for the highest speed ever recorded by a crew-powered aircraft, which remains unbroken. Isn't that amazing? In the X-15.
What was the date for that?
Yeah, October 3rd, 1967. It's pretty wild. But you know, one thing that I find also very interesting is how we've got a lot of talk in the media right now about UFOs and UFO sightings and the Nimitz and the Tic Tac and pyramid now UFOs and a lot of things with night vision goggles, but NASA absolutely silent on this. But they've been hearing about it since they've been blasting things off this rock. So the interesting part to me is what's the shelf life on things like that with NASA? Like where, if your media is coming out, which that's a whole nother topic in itself, it was being phrased incredibly militarized, which is a, I believe, a perception management and an angle. But really NASA is completely silent on this and no one's thought, you know, what's the connection? If the Nimitz saw it, then it had to come from somewhere, which implies that perhaps, you know, based on the understanding, it came from space. But maybe its silence tells us that it's not coming from space. Maybe it's something here, you know, an inner Earth phenomenon or interdimensional, something like that. I just find it very interesting that NASA's crickets when it comes to the topic of UFOs, still to this day, even though it's being recognized.
Do you think there's the possibility that, you know, because NASA has been around as long as it has, that the early information that was gathered concerning UFOs with the Mercury, Gemini, Apollo programs has been compartmentalized away so much that it's been forgotten about. The current people at NASA have no idea what occurred in the past because that information was never a need to know. And so it's somewhere along the point, it just died somewhere.
Somebody knows. I think that's too big of a thing. I don't believe that we lost all the trajectory data for the moon. I don't believe that for a second. Like, that's a monumental thing. You're not going to be taping, you know, episodes of Family Guy on top of the NASA missions. They needed the tapes for other things. Come on, you get a million of our dollars, rather, a day. I think it's up to $64 million now a day. And yet you couldn't spring for some high eight. What's going on, man? And I just find, again, this very, very interesting, this whole sequester of information, this ignorant angle. And, you know, you're the space agency, man. You're calculating when people can land on the moon, allegedly. So how do you staying ignorant on this? Like, it may work for some people, it just doesn't for me. It really doesn't. Somebody knows exactly what's going on. And if you've got people in your departments airbrushing things out, then you're doing it for a reason, you know?
Oh, well, that's a good thing to bring up, and either one of you can comment on this. I mean, you had in this film segment where people were coming forward saying that, yes, NASA was doing that. Airbrushing things out.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you've got Donna Hare. I mean, her famous, she spoke at the 2001 Press Club with Greer. You've got people in NASA, allegedly, or were contractors, that talk about people airbrushing things out. I've got a book, the episode I released on my show, Expanding Reality, today. Mary Joyce wrote a book called Spy in the Skies, and it's all about satellite photos where anomalous things that shouldn't be there on the moon, Mars, Antarctica, under our own oceans, near our sun. All of these things are documented in here, and she's got phenomenal research. Now, what's interesting is she has a website. When you go to her website the next day after she posts something, and she does a print screen immediately. She grabs it right away. And whenever you go to her website, the next day you can cross-reference it with the link that she has for the actual coordinates on Google Earth, and it's blurred out. It looks like someone poured ink all over it. She has several examples of this. And so I jokingly said, of course, well, they're just watching you to find out what they missed, and then they just go fix it, right? So it's this intentional cover-up. And the thing is, it's like when you lie to people like that, it's like, what are you hiding? You know, with the green screening of stuff, and I know we've seen this. We've seen the video of the Chinese space program that has their station that has a glass of water sitting on the table. They just forgot to pull it out of frame before they faked it. You see these wires. You see this augmented reality, people disappearing around corners in the ISS before they make them. It's just like, what's going on? You know, I miss when we were kids, you know, and you could sit back and you could say, oh, the sun's cool in NASA, you know, instead of looking at it now and going, man, every time I wear that shirt, I think it's never a straight answer, you know, and I think it means to deceive in Hebrew, and I then cross-reference it with what they said the moon lander was, and with no regolith in the pads, and I mean, it's like, come on, man, you want it to be legit, and so I hope that whatever they're covering up is worth the shattered dreams, you know what I mean? That's kind of how I feel about it. It better be awesome, and you better tell us that it better be just super worth it.
Darcy, I mean, what's your opinion? I mean, you know, right now NASA is, you know, seems to be saying that, hey, you know, we don't know what's going on, so we're, you know, we're going to form this committee to look in it, yet you go back all these years, it's just all kinds of information that they should have or should remember.
I think NASA knows exactly what they're doing. They act as a scientific instrument on behalf of the military, and the military has all the interests of protecting the United States of America. So I think it's a bit of a lark when they say they're just now interested in UFOs. I think they've always been interested in UFOs. It's just been a classified research program. And now they want to use this opportunity to go public and say either there's nothing here, guys, drop it, or there's something here and there might be a reason for us to investigate it further scientifically in the public, or the last and final answer is maybe they want to, you know, collaborate with the newly announced Space Force and be part of the defense strategy in space against this strange UFO behavior.
Well, right from the very beginning, I mean, you know, and not just with, you know, NASA, but, you know, the Air Force and the Navy, you know, all of them, there's been this attempt to keep a lid on everything, despite what everybody else has seen and saying. You know, I mean, why do you think if, as the Air Force always like to say, that UFOs present no threat to us? They've never said, oh, they're not real. They just said, oh, we can't put any threat. Okay, well, why still the cover-up?
I mean, that's the question, isn't it? You know, the Air Force wasn't created until 47, and I can think of something else that's pretty monumental in our field that happened in 47. And it seems that it was in direct response to. And so it feels like there is actually, I mean, of course there's a deliberate cover-up, but I think what it is more than anything is exactly what you just said. It's perception management. So that is what the name of the game is. It's not don't say they exist or invalidate the experience, because we tried that with Blue Book through the Blue Book days, and even Hynek at the end there, you know, founded SUFOS, and they came out and said, of course it was legit, you know, and I wish I could have talked about so much more. So they're like, oh, that's kind of a bust.
Before we bust this, Brandon, we got a lot more to talk about with you and Darcy in our next section. So it's Darcy, Brandon, Sheen, and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.